Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, give your shout out and then I'll disclaim myself and then we can launch.
All right. Jess, you're listening. I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess.
I'm going to go disclaim myself. Good evening. If this is your first time listening to our show, welcome. This is not a G, a PG, or an R-rated show. I couldn't get an X help. Anyway, I'm liable to say all kinds of shit, and things will just fall out of my mouth in a random manner, like y'all know I do. Okay, so, happy equinox to everyone. I would also like to thank all of the new people that liked our show this week, the throngs of thousands, and we would like to announce a milestone. We are almost at 100,000 listens. So thank you, everybody, who listens in on podcast and live and everybody. That's very awesome of you. We appreciate your company and your patronage, even though we're not selling anything. So there you go. Well, we both are, but we don't necessarily push all that on the air. Although we could, you know,
exactly.
It's our show, we could do that. But anyway, it is equinox. We just had St. Patrick's Day. And I would like to talk tonight a little bit about some spell work and something that we learned from Miss Dorothy Morrison, which is very valuable, which I have been employing. So, before I do that, do you want to read some cards?
Yes, I've already pulled. Do you want to go first?
I can, because I've already pulled as well.
Awesome. See, we're getting good at this.
We are. We're pre-pulling before we even get on the air, which is probably wise. Okay, so first pre-pull. You like that? Okay, so I have pulled the first card, and it says money does not equal love. So apparently this is going to be a multi-phase. I'm actually just going to read the cards, and anybody who's listening, take whatever is pertaining to you. If it all pertains to you, that's great. If only part of the reading pertains to you, that's okay too. All right, money does not equal love. You are under this misguided perception that if you love me, you'll give me money or take care of me in some fashion. Actually, that actually is true on certain levels. There are levels of caring for another person that are related to money, and that's okay. Just don't get abusive, because your ass is abusive and you get a little bit too entitled and self-important on someone else's dime. Be careful of that. Okay, let's see. Beware of manic depressive tendencies. These are not your tendencies. These are the tendencies of someone close to you, someone you're in a relationship with. This is a male and male relationship. So I am here to tell you that your boyfriend is a fucking psycho. Be careful. There's a lot of up and down. There's a medication involved somewhere, and do not be around him if he goes off his meds, because if he goes off his meds, he's going to lose his shit. because he will be off his meds at a point where he needs to be on them because something big is going to happen, and it's not necessarily a positive thing. The thing that's going to happen that's going to trigger this really manic mood. So be aware of that, protect yourself, and try to get some distance. If at all possible, let him, you know, realign, readjust, and restart taking his pills. Okay, next card. Too much of anything is still too much. Indeed it is. So the propensity for, this is a propensity for too much sex. Sheath the knife on occasion. Yes, please. Be careful. You're going to play with that thing and it's going to go off in all directions. So just be careful. Negativity will not produce desired results. This is somebody who tends to downplay the upside of life and expects the worst to happen at all times. Stop being a negative Nancy. You're borrowing trouble, and the shit you're trying to avoid is going to happen to you. Trust me, I've done it. Next card. Looking for answers leads to more questions. Indeed, it usually does, especially when you're doing some self-examination. This is somebody who is on a journey to discover who they really are. Guess what? When you take a journey to discover who you really are, you only get partial answers. The rest of the story has to come from what direction you put yourself in this life, not just the things that happened to you in the past, not just the people who were around you when you were a kid. You have to fill in some of those blanks on your own. You will not learn everything about who you are from just going into a previous experience. You're an ever-evolving person. Therefore, your answers are going to be ever-evolving as well as you figure out who it is you are. Okay, next. Leading yourself out of the dark. It's the same person. Don't get mired down in some of the shittier aspects of your youth. It's very easy to say, I'm fucked up about this because this happened in my childhood. That's an explanation of why you may have a trigger response, but you have the option to not have that response anymore. A new experience and other new experiences should help you change a previous perspective. Everything does not stand pat. Everything evolves as well as you. So perspective can also evolve. A love of things bright and shiny. Ah. Normally, I would say this is jewelry. This is not jewelry. This is fabric. So somebody is thinking about, yes, somebody, it's either a dress or drapes or something D-related, and it's like a brocade with gold thread. It's beautiful. Do it, get it, whatever. Just be careful and mind your money. Because it's really expensive shit. I don't know where that came from. It kind of came out from nowhere. And that's what I got. So, your turn.
Cool.
Yeah.
All righty. That was awesome. So, I'm not feeling either the same person or different people with this. So, I'm just going to plow through like you did.
Plow.
Yes, plow. I said plow. So, first card is success in business. I feel this is food related. This is going to start out small. Not exactly like a food truck, but sort of one of those little push carts. This is not a huge menu, obviously, because you can't carry it all in that spot. Nor is it like hot dogs. Or something extremely simplistic, but I don't know. You're still playing with ideas, but this is going to happen probably right around summer, and then you are going to save up enough money. No, I take that back. There's some kind of art festival that you are going to go to take this to the first time. You're going to make a ton of money. You're going to save that. And then you're going to go back to another festival that you're going to be invited in or to, and you're going to make a ton of money, and you're going to save some of that. And by the time the year is up, you will be either in a truck or preferably in a brick building, brick and mortar. But it's good. It's good. It starts off slow. Don't push it, but it's going to roller coaster for a little bit. Second card, good financial news. I think that ties in with that. And also for a few other people that have been waiting for money to come to them, you know, the IOUs are due. But fortunately, those people are going to be getting their money. Therefore, you will be getting your money. Ooh, excuse me. Mm-hmm. I had a bubble.
Perfect,
third card,
baby.
Beware of the law. Yeah, it's like I'm trying not to be rude. beware of the law. I am seeing a train station. And normally, this is a gentleman, an unassuming gentleman dressed in business clothes. You know, that kind of attire, that kind of business world that you work in. I know you're thinking you're going to bring a little happy fun time in your briefcase. Don't do it because you're going to get caught. But don't worry about it. You will find a hookup when you get there, okay? So don't worry about it. You will have your happy fun time. Just don't bring your own because it will not end well with you. Or, you know, you may wind up getting fired. You may wind up getting arrested. So don't do it. See, number four. Sorry, I was trying to figure out what number I was on. Instability. Now, this is not instability in your life, per se. This is in your mind. This is not quite medication level, but there have been a lot of bouts of depression, and it seems to be getting worse. It may lighten up with the spring coming along because it may be seasonal depression, but that's not all there is to it. There's been a lot of crap going on in your life the past couple of years, and it's finally catching up with you. And you know what? It's okay to take a break. It's okay to take a big breath. It's okay to take medication if you need it. Be very careful of the dosage you take. You have two doctors that you visit. You're going to want to go with the second one because the second one is going to prescribe the right prescription for you. The first one is kind of got a lot of stuff on his mind, so go to your second doctor. And it may actually just work out that the universe is like, you know what, you've been through enough shit, so you're not going to be able to see him. So, but yeah, take care of yourself. You know, have a bubble bath, even if you are a guy. It doesn't matter. Bubble baths are awesome for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, a lover awaits. And this is for a couple different people, and it's for a couple different situations. I'm feeling almost like a second Valentine's Day sprouting up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting a lot of pictures right now. It's good. It's good. Nothing is going to go wrong with this. What is that? Twitter pated from Bambi. That's the word that keeps running through my head. Going to be that kind of a feeling. Like, you know, even though you're an adult, it's going to be like that teenage infatuation, that first love, that first crush. And it's going to go good. Some of them may kind of fizzle out, but it's not going to end badly. It's going to be like, okay, you know what, now that the infatuation is over, it's not that I don't like you, it's just we have so much not in common that it makes it too different, you know, because people have to have enough in common to keep them together, and then enough differences to keep it interesting. You know, but it's going to be good always around, but not all of them are going to last. So just be aware of that. Just be yourself. Don't be somebody else. And that's my reading.
Cool.
Yeah, lots of good stuff coming.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's about time. And we say that a lot.
I know,
but
right?
Actually, the truth is that sometimes it seems like everything is taking so fucking long. Done. But I've been doing, as I was saying earlier, so per the one of the more recent lessons from Dorothy Morrison, who we love and adore and respect, I've been doing some luck magic for my household, for prosperity. And it really is important to bless the ones around you because it all feeds into a common goal. So I've been doing, like, some very heavy candle magic, and it seems to be going swimmingly. Yeah. And what I've been doing is I'll start the spell very heavy-handed, glitter, oil, inscribing the candles, you know, the whole shebang. And then I back it up, like as that candle goes out, I put in another one with the same intention. I don't necessarily grease up and glitter everything, although I look like a fucking fairy godmother doing it. It's hilarious. But you keep that you keep the intention going, you know, and I've been known to do a spell that takes at least a week of meditation, candle burning, this, that, you know, petitioning the gods. And, you know, as I'm famous for saying, I don't demand anything. All I can do is ask. But if you ask them nicely and revere them appropriately, they will respond. You know, I used to tell an ex of mine, remember the gods so that they remember you. It's one thing to go around and say, you're this path or that path. But if you don't pay homage and honor to your deities on a regular basis, they will spend time with other folks who will do that. So keep in mind that it's important to bolster that connection and you know, employ your faith, because what we do is faith-based, just like any other religion. You know, I'm not trying to lump us all together, but I also like the commonality aspect that, you know, we subscribe to a certain way of doing things and a certain belief pattern, and it's good to be mindful of your belief pattern. It's not enough to just say it. Act on those things so that you can really affect change. Because I find a lot of our folks give a lot of lip service to, you know, this, that, or the other thing, as far as what they believe, but I don't actually see them practicing it on a daily basis. You know, it's you can't just ignore, you know, what you say. It's like having a child, and then your child proceeds to only pay attention to you when they feel like it, when it suits them, or if they want something from you. You want to know that there's that bond all the time. So strengthen your bonds, because it will affect your life, and they will make amazing things happen. What do you think?
I think you're spot on, because I've found that, you know, when I slack off with it, when I get busy, you know, because we all, obviously we have lives, you know, shit happens, and, you know, sometimes you can't do it every day, or you forget to do it every day. It's not that you can't. You know, I mean, they don't give a shit if you take a little tiny candle into the bathroom with you while you're, you know, doing your constitutional and you know, if that's the only time you are allotted, take it. Mm-hmm. Take a little tea light with you and just, you know, say thank you. You know, thank you for what you have. It's, you know, it's absolutely imperative that you be thankful for what you have and not focus on what you don't have. Because if you, I mean, we all, well, not all of us, but most of us that have been around for more than a couple years have understood that, oh, yeah, if I get to stinking thinking, it brings more stinking. You know,
I love that. Stinking thinking. Yep, it's true, though. I mean, as cliched as that may sound, it actually is true. The more negativity, even if it's on a light, quote-unquote, level, where you're thinking, oh, you know, maybe it'll rain today. Yeah, it could possibly rain today. But it doesn't have to be a downer if you have a different attitude about it. It could actually be beneficial for whatever reason. But stinking thinking is a cute, that's a cute one. I like that one.
that's from when I lived out in the country. Actually, one of my old bosses, she would say that, no stinking thinking. Okay. You know, and it's true, but that is such a hard cycle to get out of. You know, that, oh, but I don't really want to do this, but I have to because this person will get mad at me if I don't. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah, well,
do what makes you happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, and we all get to do that to a certain point, and then there's the part of life that's full of responsibilities. But they can all be good, and you can incorporate all of that into your life and still make the people, you know, still own up to your responsibilities and do the things you have to do. But by the same token, it doesn't always have to be a drag if you change your perception of it. And I know that that's hard at first, but like anything else, if you practice, you get good at it. You get better at it. And then it doesn't occur to you so much to be negative. You actually can change that tendency to be negative. It's not something that's in your DNA. It's a learned behavior like any other learned behavior. And you can change learned behaviors. So if you can start, just practice. And, you know, and it took a really long time for me. You know, but by being mindful of when you're starting to go in a negative vein, to pull yourself back and change your perception. And sometimes I'll sit for 10, 15 minutes and I'll go negative until I realize, oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to think that way. I have to be positive because otherwise I'm going to make my whole day suck because I have done that. And it works.
I've done it too.
It just takes practice. It really does. It just takes practice. You know?
And it also, the first and most important step in that process, get rid of negative people. Do not allow them any space in your life. I understand, you know, at some point you're going to have to deal with negative, you know, forces from the outside world. But get rid of negative people, the whiners, the needers, the parasites, the ones that constantly use you, constantly have an emergency. Their world is constantly falling apart, even though, you know, it's like, oh, I'm sorry you had to go to work today and you didn't feel like it. Boo fucking who for you? You know?
Exactly.
But you slowly, you get sucked into that, and then it starts affecting your moods. And if you're already in that place, it's just going to pull you even further down, like, you know, just a sucking pool of, you know, desperation.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go all dark there, but
but
don't feel
it's
bad.
It's easy to do. Yeah, I know. It's easy to just kind of spiral out into that negativity. It's really easy because I think And I think a lot of it stems from what you think you actually deserve in this particular life.
Yes.
And if you can adjust what you think you deserve as opposed to what you actually deserve, because let's face it, not only are you going to have negativity in the outside world, but a lot of us actually live with a negative person. And that's a little bit more difficult to get away from. So it's not just about, you can't always get rid of negative people, because sometimes they're the person you've chosen to be with. And it's tough.
Oh, yeah.
It's a tough thing. But if you can just not get dragged under, sometimes that's half the battle, you know, just try to keep as lighthearted as you can. And it can be extremely difficult. And we're not saying, oh, poof, just make it all go away. It doesn't work that way, and we know that. But if you can try to keep your head when those around you are losing theirs, is an old saying, but also very true. But, yeah, it can be
actually
difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually, if you can get to that point where you can remove yourself from the situation, you've gotten yourself out of that you know, pit, and you have stepped back, you know, you can see them coming from a mile away. And it's actually kind of funny sometimes to just watch them do that dance, like that vibe for attention. You know, it's like, oh, da 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 da, you know, and it's like, yeah, okay, that was cute. I'm going over here. You know, and that's all you have to do. You don't have to be mean. You just don't invite them into your life. You know, I don't know. Anyway, I could go on and on about that. But that's what I wanted to ask you.
What?
Yes. Now, as far as luck. See, my viewpoint, luck, because it's generally, you know, it's consistently a term of, you know, fortunate things that happen out of your control. So the way I like to approach it is, yeah, you know, I still call it luck or luck spells. It's better to approach it from the other side and prevent the negativity from coming in. You know, or to attract the good. You know?
That's true.
But what are some of your favorite charms?
You mean for attracting positive?
You.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
You know, here's the funny thing. There are so many things that I look at that I have, you know, that have been given to me as gifts or things that I've bought for myself, that I could probably carry around a steamer trunk with all the shit that I like. That, you know, because I think the things that quote unquote, because I don't really use the word luck or luck charm all that much. It's stuff that makes me feel empowered. Like, I tend to work a lot of magic with my jewelry. A lot of people work it through their silver or whatever. But, you know, basically, I feel like when someone gives me a piece of jewelry and, you know, I'll put it on my altar and I'll ask the gods to bless it and I'll sage it and I'll do all the standard stuff of salting it and saging it and watering it and putting my athame to it and asking gods to bless it. But when I wear it after that, I feel like that person has given me some protection, you know. So, like the rings I wear that have been given to me, the earrings, the necklace, all the things that I wear on a consistent basis. Not that I wear only one set of any jewelry, as you know, I have a ton of shit. As old as I am, I should. But it's the vibe I have for the day or the thing that I'm anticipating for the day as far as what I feel like I need to make me feel empowered. You know, like going back to Dorothy Morrison, I have St. Dorothy with me, that oil at all times. And if I'm feeling like I'm feeling droopy, I'll put a little bit of it on. Or if I feel like, you know, I'm about to have a conversation of some kind of importance with somebody, I'll put it on. It's more for me about empowerment than luck. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, and I totally agree with you.
Oh, can I tell
See,
you
with
about
me,
my socks? I have to tell you about my socks first.
Sure.
Because I have a pair of socks. Now, there's a meet, and it's funny you say this, because every Thursday I have a meeting, and this meeting is a pretty big meeting. And I have a pair of socks that I got from a company called Blue Q, and the socks say on them, "You're not the boss of me." And I wear them to this meeting so I don't, because I feel like at any moment someone's going to try to railroad me into a whole bunch of things that I shouldn't have anything to do with. So every Thursday I wear, and I have a couple of pairs of them, but every Thursday I drag out a pair of my "You're not the boss of me" socks, and I put them on my feet. Now I have to tell you, 2 weeks ago, I did not wear those socks. And the meeting was a disaster. It was a disaster.
I remember
that. And you know
that.
What? And I didn't even remember about my socks until it was pointed out to me several hours later that evening, you didn't wear your lucky socks. And I'm like, what? And I look down and I'm like, oh, shit, I'm not wearing my Thursday "You're not the boss of me" socks. It didn't even occur to me. So you damn straight, I'm wearing my damn "You ain't the boss of me" socks every Thursday. Like I said, I bought an extra pair. Oh, yeah. Now, here's the problem. Summer is coming, and I have to wear sandals, so how am I going to have my socks?
I will figure out something for you.
I need to have you're not the boss of me underwear.
Or get it, you know what? I tell you what, I will cross-stitch it in a piece of like either a mojo bag or just a plain piece of cloth. I will stitch "You're not the boss of me" and just tuck it into your bra.
Okay.
And then put some "Who's Your Mama" oil on it.
I love it. That's great. Perfect.
See,
what about
we have a way around things.
You do have a way around things. So what do you think? What do you use? What do you call it? Do you call it luck? What do you call it?
See, I call it luck. You know, like, oh, that was lucky, or, oh, that was a bit of luck. You know, if it's something I didn't cast for. If it's something you cast for, that is purposeful. That is not necessarily luck.
Right.
But generally, I mean, you know me. I don't wear a whole lot of jewelry. I have found a couple pieces that I love. I sometimes carry stones. But for me, it's my tattoos.
Ah.
Like the one on my right wrist. Now, this is funny. Because I went in, I've got a tattoo on each wrist. One has, the one on my left wrist is a pentacle with triquetras around it. It has the circle and my oldest son's name. Now, the right hand has, you know, the triquetra with the circle around it, the two moons, and ivy. Now, originally, when I went in, what I wanted was fall leaves. Because you know me, I love fall. And I went in with a picture and an idea. And the girl said to me, she said, "Have you ever considered ivy?"
Yep.
And I was like, "No, you know what? I hadn't." You know, and she drew it up and I loved it. I was like, "Yes, tattoo it now." Think in me. Well, come to find out, like, I think it was probably about a year later, another witch saw it and was admiring my tattoo and asked if she could touch it. And I was like, absolutely. You know, that's fine. Thank you for asking. And she looked, she was like, that's, oh, okay. So you got that for protection. And I was like, no, and I explained it to her. She goes, oh, well, you do realize IV is protective.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm. I used to grow it at the apartment. Do you remember?
Yes.
The front of the apartment had it. Yeah. Yep. Lots of IV.
So it was very interesting. And then, I don't know. I feel like just about every piece that I have has some sort of protectiveness on it. Like the one I drew, the half sleeve that I have, it's a phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and phoenix is another protection. But I don't know. I mean, I kind of switch out. For me, charms kind of lose their charm after a while. I don't know if it's because I kind of suck the energy out of them. But I've still got some pieces. Like, I don't know. I've never gone the route of the alligator tooth or foot. But I do have a buckeye. Mm-hmm. And I do have some John the Conqueror root. I have a lodestone and some magnetic sand that I made myself, you know, that I feed every once in a while. Because that draws in money.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I kind of go back and forth as far as that, like, oh, I feel so lucky today. And then it's like, you know, I don't know. Luck is so subjective and uncontrollable that I'd prefer to do prosperity spells or money spells.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of my favorite ones, as far as money and luck, you know, kind of combined in one. I wrote it down here. Hold on a second. Let me look. So the rice spell.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a spell, but you can either put it in a bowl or just some kind of a vessel, and you put equal parts raw white rice, white sugar, and white salt. And then you mix it all together, and then you stick a straight pin in it. Now, what I have an old spice jar that I keep on my hearth, my stove,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I don't actually have a hearth in my house. My house is tiny. But, you know, it's like if I feel like, oh, you know, I really could use some extra cash or some extra mojo right now, I'll just take it in my left hand and I'll shake it a couple times. And I'll put it back down and I'll go back to cooking.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
and
cool.
I do a lot of magic with my cooking too. You know.
Yeah.
I think if you connect with something, even if it doesn't look like what everybody would think as a money charm or a luck charm, you know, it doesn't
mm-hmm.
have to be a clover. And please don't get a rabbit's foot. It's old tradition. I had one when I was a kid. It was very soft. And then it was like I realized it was real. And I was like, oh, my God. just please do me a favor. Don't get those. Don't perpetuate that. But it can be anything that you attach yourself to. It can be a stone. It can be a pitcher. It can be a bag. You know, I was just reading something earlier today that, you know, the color of your wallet can accelerate your luck and your money income. You know.
Oh,
it,
please
like,
tell me about that. Tell me about that. What's a good wallet color?
Either red, gold,
uh-huh.
or green.
Uh-huh.
You know, or
okay.
even if you yourself associate it with money, like a certain color, or you know, pictures or something on it. But yeah, supposedly red, green, and gold, which actually I have one of your old gold wallets. I have a lodestone in that gold wallet with some cinnamon
cool.
and some money drawing powder. And I have it sitting on my altar. And it's gold and it's shiny and it's pretty, but I would never carry it around. Because, you know, I'm the dull one. Shiny is nice, but I get distracted by shiny stuff.
Okay, so I have to tell you, I recently bought a wallet, and it is none of those colors, and I don't know why, but I was drawn to this orange wallet.
Ooh.
And I'm not normal.
Orange
I'm
is actually?
Tell me, because I'm not normally drawn to orange, but this kind of made me go, I really like this.
Yeah, orange is a money-drawing color as well. Not many people think it is, or not many people associate it with, but I've seen like a handful of spells that call for a green and an orange candle. Yeah, so I've always associated orange with like opening, you know, and green with drawing. Like green draws in and orange opens up. So that's actually a perfect color.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you know, and especially if it called to you?
Yeah, it did. It did. And, you know, I find it interesting because, I'm never drawn to that color. I find myself being drawn to different things that I never liked before, different colors that I was never – I mean, you know, I write everything with a green pen now because color of money draws money.
Yeah.
So I just do it by habit. It's really funny how you incorporate these things into your way of being and then you don't give it a second thought. It's been interesting. It's been a learning experience for sure. I don't know if it actually works. I feel like it does. I certainly I'm pretty fortunate. I can't lie about that, you know. But I don't know. It's just one of those things that makes me feel good. You know, it's another one of those things that I do to make myself feel empowered.
And that's the important part, because if once you feel empowered, then you have that power. Then you are able to project. You know, if you have nothing inside. You know, it's sort of like the old adage, trying to withdraw money from an empty bank account. You have to fill up that bank account with something in order to be able to withdraw or project, in my opinion. And that's why I'm not a stickler for it has to be this and it has to be done that way. You know, there are some things that... Yeah, you know, you have to do them in conjunction with, you know, the alignments of the stars or the phase of the moon, which is, you know, it accelerates or it helps it along. But I'm one that if the mood takes me, if I feel like I really have to do something right then and there, unless I'm extremely, extremely angry and I don't have all the facts... If I feel the need to do something, I paid for that one, but I couldn't really control that because I was just blind fury.
You were.
I'd hate to see you know what? Actually, I kind of like to see the outcome of it. Anyway, that's none of my business. I'm not saying nothing. But yeah, if you feel compelled to work magic, you know, and it's like a desire or a need, not just, oh, I want to do this, but I don't have everything together. No, you'll know that gut instinct of, I have to do this now. I have to speak these words to the universe. I have to put this out there. Do it. Because that's when it's most powerful. You know, I find having to wait for the perfect time or whatever, then I've lost the desire for it.
Well, I don't know.
You know,
or
it's like...
desire for it. I think the strength of your conviction, the strength of one's convictions are what make magic happen. That's all about intention. So when you have that driving thing happening in you that is just pushing you and pushing you, if you try to stall that off, you lose the power of that moment when you're really at
exactly.
the height of pushing it. So, yeah, don't wait. You don't need a recipe book. You don't need a bunch of stuff. I know I own a bunch of stuff, but that's because I'm old and I've been collecting shit for years. You don't need to do that. It's true.
Exactly.
You really don't.
And you know what? It doesn't have to rhyme. It doesn't have to make reason to anybody else. Nobody else is listening to you but the gods. And if your intention is pure, if your intention is there, they know exactly what the fuck you mean.
Exactly.
So that's why I used to be so scared of, oh, well, I can't write a spell. Yes, you can.
Sure can.
The hell you can't. You're just
mm-hmm.
scared to do it because you're thinking that you have to have this certain formula, you know, and you don't. You don't. Just go for it. Go for it. Because if you hold yourself back, that kind of stops you up from lucky circumstances happening or, you know, stuff coming in. It, you know, and the whole thing, you hit on it before, but feeling like you don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably one of the biggest obstacles that we face.
Yeah.
You know, we all come from different walks of life, but, you know, you get told at a certain age, oh, well, that's not real. Oh, you can't do that. You know, oh, you're being silly. And it or, you know, you've been in a religious household and that's naughty, that's bad, you're going to a fiery place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a lot of hindrances, and sometimes it takes some of us longer to get out of it than it does others.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You
we
can
did.
Do it.
You can do it. We did it. You can do it too.
Exactly.
But
you
it's
know,
true.
And,
I mean, you
don't...
get stuck in dogma. You get stuck in the dogma that you're raised
mm-hmm.
in, and it can be really difficult to break that. And I find that a lot of us, and I know I do it all the fucking time, I still refer to certain aspects of Christianity because, you know, that's how I was raised, you know?
Yeah.
With that all that fear, and but I don't see a difference in religion. I just see a difference in the way people practice it. You know, I think that Christianity is popular because it's the most recent version of what people want to believe. I don't think it's because there's only one true God. I don't believe that. I believe in multiple gods. I think they're all true.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So, I, you know, it's funny because I watch, as I've said before, I watch Game of Thrones, and they really explained it in the show, however unintentionally, I'm sure. Do you worship the old gods or the new? Well, again, I consider the Christian God the new God, as opposed to those of us who worship the old gods. And I just found that to be a really neat, simple way to get the point across. It's not that we're not religious, and it's not that we don't follow a path and have true faith. We do. It's just not the new fad, as it were. I consider Christianity one
yeah.
of the newfangled. It's one of the newfangled religions. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those new kids on the block. Aside from Scientology, or you know, I'm sorry. I as much as I love John Travolta and Will Smith. Y'all are crazy. It's just a weird shit. You know, that's not religion. That's a science fiction book. I'm sorry, but that's a science fiction book. I will fully admit, and I would be more than happy to talk to John Travolta or anybody, well, the more sane people in that religion. We would be more than happy to have you on this show to talk about it. But, yeah, it's just very strange to me that, you know, my father had that book, Dianetics, on his bedside table. And he even, he's such a big science fiction reader, even he threw it in the trash.
Yeah.
You know, because I was like, oh, I'd like to read that. He's like, no, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. And he got rid of it. I was like, okay. Never gave,
wow.
him a, gave it a second thought, and then I found out they made a religion out of it. It's like, you know, but I don't know. I think that it's just, you know what, follow your own bliss. Don't listen to what other people say. Don't listen to what I say. Don't listen to what, you know, your Nana says. Listen to the same stuff. Filter out the rest. You know, find your own path. Pick and choose what makes you feel happy, what makes you feel comfortable, and everything else will fall into place. And that luck will just seem to overflow.
Well, I think, you know, everyone's entitled to a certain level of their own mythology. And obviously, I believe the mythology that I believe, and they believe the mythology they believe. I don't find Scientology credible, not because I think they're whack jobs, because I don't think it's fair for me to classify them that way, even though it's not something I can get next to. You know, a lot of people, it's the same thing as any religion. Some people are into it, some people are not. But anything that tells you that you have to stop being a part of people who don't believe the same that you do is where I have the problem. People who want to leave Scientology or ostracize your family if they are still in it are no longer allowed to speak with you. Your friends, if they are still in it, are no longer allowed to speak with you. There is no freedom in that. And that's the part I have the problem with. It's, you know, the fact that I think the whole spaceship concept is a little bit out there is just my opinion. But my problem is that kind of ostracizing where it's kind of along the same lines of, in some lines of Christianity, if you have a gay child or a gay relative, you're not allowed to speak with them. And that's the kind of thing that bothers me in any religion, you know. So that's just what I think about it. I'm not down on them because it's Scientology. I'm down on it because of the things you have to sacrifice if you don't in line.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So. But on that note, we are at about five minutes.
Okay.
Are you ready to wrap it up?
I'm ready to wrap.
Yeah, and I hear something going on downstairs, so I need to go check that out because that was a whole hell of a lot of noise. Yeah.
Oh,
I don't know what that is, but I got to go.
All right. Well,
but next week.
Equinox to you all.
Yes.
And my sister's going to tell you who's on next week. Go ahead.
Bruce Mullins and his lovely bride Sharon will be back to join us, and they have a lot to talk about. So I am interested to find out what's going on in their world.
Me too.
But we love you guys, and we will talk to you all next week.
Yep. Enjoy the beautiful weather if you have it. Happy spring equinox. Go balance an egg. I think this is the time of year for that. We love you a lot. We'll talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.
Night. Love you guys. Great blessings.